I think this one of the main reasons that many of us stay very committed to this mission because he has such a heart and such a passion, and he really has got this company in a direction that we all can look at today and say, wow, this is why we got involved with Manatech. First, our Give for Real program. This is the mastermind of that program and a guy we love dearly, Sam Castor. So, Sam, take over, and we love to have you, and thanks again for being on our call this morning.
Well, thanks, Mary Jo, and it's great to be on this call. I just came back from New York this weekend. I understand you were in Brazil.
Yeah, 2 weeks on a mission trip, and it was awesome.
That is fantastic. Well, I was on a mission trip of sorts. I was doing a Manatech meeting up in New York, and I say missions, not tongue-in-cheek, but literally, because what we're doing in the world today is making such a huge difference. And, you know, just give you an update. You know, when we came out with the new combo pack, the response to it was so great that it upped the contribution for children another 5,000 children a month. Just the introduction of the combo pack alone. So that's pretty incredible. So, you know, that's like sending product to a new nation. You know, we got 6,000 kids in El Salvador, a couple of thousand in the Philippines now that have received product. But, you know, that allows us to open a brand new country and make a meaningful impact immediately on the most vulnerable children of that country. So, hey, thanks, everybody, for what you're doing. I'll just give you a quick update. We are we are continuing to expand with Manna Relief through these global initiatives where we link ourselves to major relief organizations who are all about feeding, nourishing kids around the world. Most of them are engaged in feeding kids. They're now getting engaged in nourishing children. And I think all of them realize the difference and see what we have and are truly blessed to be associated with us. Again, we just opened up the Philippines through two different organizations. One is Convoy of Hope, who took us down to El Salvador. They're also working with us in Nicaragua. And so, again, the distribution is expanding. I just came in contact with an organization in Europe that specifically deals with children's issues in probably the Eastern Bloc countries of Europe. And so that will be very helpful. I just got a contact from down in Australia who does a lot of work in Australasia area. And what's good about that is that we are launching Give for Real internationally this fall. And so every country in the world will now be participating in the Give for Real program, and all of their monthly auto orders containing the products that qualify will now start to make a contribution. It will probably double the impact that we're making today, which is pretty significant, but doubling that really allows us to expand into some of these new organizations. And again, this is still just scratching the surface of the big problem out there, but you know, one of the messages that I'm carrying forward is, you know, here's some new statistics on malnutrition in the world. Malnutrition now impacts 925 million people in all nations of the earth. We used to think of malnutrition as just a third world or developing, you know, nation problem. It has now become a global epidemic. So 925 million people are classified is malnourished, and almost all the rest of us, according to statistics, are not eating diets that support our basic nutritional needs. So everybody's at risk in the world today. And, you know, when you see statistics like 90% of the food we buy is processed food, and even the good food that we buy has been stripped of its nutrients, it's easy to understand that, you know, there's a major challenge that we face in the world today. And if we don't do something about it, it's called legacy. That's why in the New England Journal of Medicine, it said for the first time in 100 years, you know, our kids are going to live a shorter lifespan probably than their parents. And legacy is what we pass down to our children and our children's children. And we are either going to be the generation that turned the tide, you know, to destruction, and or that turned the tide the other direction back to life. And I think everybody on this call, we choose life. Here's another interesting statistic. In the United States, we take more vitamin products than anybody in the world, yet we're one of the sickest nations in the world. So something is wrong with our vitamin strategy. And you know what new science has shown us is synthetic nutrients don't act the same way in the body as real food nutrients. So it should be crystal clear to us that you can't solve this problem through synthetics. I've also seen all the new data, or at least aggregated the data that shows what might the negative impact be of trying to use synthetic nutrients to solve the problem. You know, we're seeing study after study that shows that synthetic forms of vitamins actually create more damage than they do good. You know, I quoted a study when I was in New York of 29,000 males who were put on synthetic forms of beta-carotene and vitamin A, you know, to help to reduce the risk of the leading causes of death, you know, heart disease, cancer, things like that. They had to call the study off halfway through it, 4 years into a 10-year study, because the people getting synthetic forms of vitamin E and beta-carotene were exhibiting a much higher rate of heart disease, cancer, and death than those getting a placebo. That's not a good sign. Another study I quoted was 22,000 pregnant women were put on synthetic forms of vitamin A to help them in their childbirth, you know, to get adequate nutrition. Those on the synthetic form of vitamin A experience birth defects at 400% higher rate than those doing nothing. So you look at that and you combine that with the JAMA study that showed 47 independent clinical trials, you know, showed that you increase the risk of death through the supplementation of synthetic nutrients at just a rate higher than would normally be found in food. And that shocked the world when they came out with that study. All of a sudden, people were going, gosh, does supplementation, you know, is it a benefit or is it a liability? Well, supplementation is not the word. It's the quality of product that you're taking. Are real food nutrients valuable? Yes. Are synthetic nutrients the problem? The answer is yes. So, you know, that's the challenge in the world today, is that we're addressing the problem with the wrong technology, and we got to stop doing that. So that puts Manitech in truly one of the most unique positions for world-changing activity that exists in the world today. You know, there's a lot of problems that we face in the world, you know, education, poverty, clean water, clean air, things like that. But, you know, when you got a problem that is going to bankrupt the bank in all nations, when you have a problem that is responsible for up to one half of all childhood deaths, you got to put that at the very top of the list of things that we better be paying attention to. Again, this is our legacy, what we do now. And to have a patented real food technology solution to these problems is an unprecedented opportunity, you know, to not only build a legitimate social entrepreneur business, but to truly make an impact in the world, to really change the lives of people in this country, all countries, including the most vulnerable children in the world. Okay, so now, you know, most of you are familiar with our story. You know what our products have the capacity of doing. And now what we're working on for ManaQuest, and this is the reason everybody's got to be there, is now we need a campaign that is global in nature, a campaign that identifies us with the problem, that identifies us with the solution, and makes it easy, fun, engaging, rewarding for everybody to challenge others, you know, to take care of themselves, and by doing that, change your life, help us change the world. Challenge others to do it, and you can make a global impact. And so part of the campaign is just the simplicity of that message. And the second thing is to create some rewards for small incremental, you know, achievements outside of our compensation plan. You know, network marketing is a business that has delayed gratification. You know, by not paying a large direct sale commission on every product, you get the leverage off of multiplication instead of addition. But multiplication comes over time, and it's based off of organizational growth, and there's huge rewards, but it's down the road. What we feel for this campaign is we're creating some exciting new, very engaging rewards for people that will just take the baby steps towards organizational building. You know, as an example, we already know what the team bonus is. The team bonus is build a team, and gosh, your products are paid for. You know, what if the very next little step, you know, got something else, and then another step got something else that was fun and rewarding and engaging? And I know that I'm putting a lot of information without giving a lot of detail, but that's why you got to be at ManaQuest, because this is a global campaign that we are serious about launching, something that we believe will be so exciting that every person will want to know what you're doing. And so there's the bait, guys. Get up to ManaQuest and find out the detail of this campaign. But, you know, we're serious. We have a business plan that we think is reasonable. You know, you've heard me say before that 150 million people in this country take a vitamin, and just 3.5%, you know, would allow us to address, you know, those 5 million children that die every year of acute malnutrition. Well, listen to this. The global intake of vitamins on a daily basis is 500 million consumers. That means from a global perspective, now that we're launching Gift for Real around the world, all it takes is 1% of the people that already take a vitamin. They already know they need something. They just don't know, you know, the difference between real and synthetic, and they don't know the benefits of real versus synthetic or the liabilities of real versus synthetic. And so, again, our job is to educate and inspire just 1% of that existing market to make the change to real. And, folks, we can make an impact unlike anybody's done in the area of health in this world. And I believe, again, that's just scratching the surface. I mean, that's a big, bold, audacious goal, 5 million kids. But when you think of it in perspective to the number of people that are already doing something, and all that we get to do is share the good news of real food technology with them, I think 1% is something we can achieve within this next decade. But I think over our generation and the next generation, we can literally change the world. I mean, we can literally make a difference unlike, again, the world has ever seen when it comes to health. So that's our opportunity. That's our challenge. What we need is a very, very exciting campaign to help us drive this message into the marketplace. And to validate what we're doing, you know, we're going to continue to video and interview and get feedback from the organizations all over the world that are using our real food technology as their core strategy for fighting global malnutrition, and as well as the response that we're getting from our customer base, because this is about changing your life to change the world, which is a radical difference than the old paradigm of just asking you for a donation, you know, to help starving children. What we're saying is this is a global problem that impacts every man, woman, and child on the planet. And by simply choosing to help yourself, you know, you can help make a difference. And choosing to challenge others to do the same thing, you can help us change the world. So Mary Jo, that's what we're up to. We are excited about where we're at today and where we're going, and I can't wait to do the tour of all the countries that we operate to share the exciting news of Gift for Real and the world-changing concept of social entrepreneurship.
Thanks, Sam. That's great, great news. Maybe we can open up for some questions. I had a few myself just right off the top of my head, and I'll start with those, and then if other people have some questions, they can ask as well. But, Sam, one of the things, first of all, I know a lot of people have a hard time educating the people out in the hinterlands, what is real food and what is synthetic. I think that if we had some piece, are we going to get some paperwork or some pieces that are going to help our associates really understand that themselves first and foremost, and then be able to communicate it effectively?
Well, I think you know, I just updated the on the Giving Changes Everything site. We just posted some new presentations on the difference between real food and synthetic. And so that's one thing. That's about a four-minute presentation, so I cut it down from 8 to 4 to communicate the difference. And then the second thing is we published 2 tear sheets that are now available on MOD that we rolled out when we were in Branson a couple weekends ago. One is a flyer on Phytomatrix, and it just talks about real food technology versus synthetics. The second thing we rolled out is a tear sheet from ProEvity. Remember the little booklet ProEvity did on how to evaluate vitamin and mineral supplements a couple of years ago? We condensed, you know, some of the key points made in that brochure down to a one-page tear sheet front and back. And again, it's how to read a label and evaluate a real food versus a synthetic nutritional supplement. So all three of those are things that people can use today when they're just having a quick conversation with somebody about, you know, we're challenging the world to eat for real to help change their lives and help us change the world. Here's a quick little brochure on our technology. Here's another quick little front and back tear sheet from a company called ProEvity that is teaching doctors this very information. You'll find it useful because you can take it home and look at what you're taking and see if what you're taking is really synthetic or if it's real. It doesn't matter if it says natural or what. If it has these ingredients, they're synthetically made. So those are the quickest, easiest things to utilize when trying to share the story with somebody.
Great, 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 great. So everybody get a hold of those so you can utilize them because it's not about you becoming a scientific genius in this business. It's about utilizing the materials Manitech provides, which are more than adequate for us to go out there and meet some of the demands that we have when we talk to people. You want to take that effort because if you're uneducated and you go out there and you just say ours is the best and you can't support languaging around that, what happens is you lose all credibility. So you want to make sure that you have information and documentation to support what you're talking about. The other question I had, Sam, before I open the floodgates, is the question about, I know a year ago when we kicked off Good for Give for Real, which is now basically on its anniversary, as of July, I believe, is when we started. One of the things that you mentioned is that you thought that eventually we would have, like, testimonials in the automatic order boxes, that people are on automatic order when they get their products, they're going to be able to read a testimonial or hear from a caregiver from these countries to really help support the emotional attachment they have for continuing on the products and being a part of this incredible campaign. Is that
right.
Something that we're closer to having done at this point, Sam? I mean, I know I haven't noticed it myself. Now, Lydia happens to open all the boxes that come to our house, but
yeah.
I haven't seen it, and I'm wondering, are we still convicted about that? Because I think that's a huge piece for our average consumer out there to feel like they really are a part of this huge endeavor, this huge campaign.
Yeah, I think it kind of got lost in the shuffle last year with the old marketing group. I think, you know, we had a strategic planning session a week and a half ago where we went through all the items that are absolutely necessary, you know, for exploding this globally and for fulfilling the destiny that we all feel is on this company. And one of the key components is that constant communication with just our consumer base. I mean, 5 million people taking our product could change the world, but they need to be, you know, encouraged every month that they get a product that you are making a difference, and here's what it looks like. So that is absolutely on the front burner of things that we're doing.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I think, as I agree with you, Sam, I think that, you know, it's one thing to go out there with a great campaign, but our like network marketing, like my experience has been in it, and, of course, Manitech's the only company I've been associated with, it's always about retention. I mean, it's totally about how do we keep people informed, on board, hanging in there with us so they look at their products every month and instead of the inconvenience of swallowing so many pills, they can read their little, you know, testimonial or whatever, and their heart's involved. Because once
heart's
involved, I mean, there's no end to this. They're not going to shift. They're going to, because they know they're helping to save lives, and that's what we have to keep reiterating to people a month late. Great. Good news. Okay, let's open. Everybody else, you know how to get off of mute. If you have a question for Sam, here's an opportunity for you. Anyone on the call?
I have a question for Sam.
Yes.
The question is on that 29,000 males, and I think you said New York, what is the place where they can go find the literature on that or the document on that?
You know what? It's in the slides that I'm making a presentation on right now, and it's from the New England Journal of Medicine. That's where that report was published.
All right.
But it will give the source of that information. So,
okay.
Number one, if you see it on the slide, you'll see the source, which is New England Journal of Medicine, which says the year, the month, and the edition that information came out in.
And on the 22,000 synthetic vitamins that were taken by the pregnant women experiencing 400 more birth defects, what is that study? The reason for asking that is I work with the Pregnancy Resource Center, and they are handing out, I'm sure, their synthetic vitamins. And I'm very concerned, have been from the beginning.
It's New England Journal of Medicine also.
Also, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will look that up. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Sam?
Yes.
How about something like Jeff Allen's new CD disc that he's got about that lady, Jody, that's got quite a story to share? Would something like that be feasible to get in an automatic monthly order kit, box?
Yeah, I think that's the type of thing that we want to start cultivating out there is what difference is this making here? In other words, what's happening to our children? What's happening to our parents? You know, what's happening to our generation? You know, we know that real food is now linked or lack of micronutrients, micronutrient deficiency, is now a major link to childhood obesity. You know, it's a major link to everybody being overweight. It's what New York Times calls the hidden hunger. You know, in other words, malnutrition, we don't associate malnutrition with first world countries like the United States because it doesn't look what we think malnutrition should look like. We're thinking of, you know, children who look like refugees that are all, you know, self-eaten up, you know, and their bodies are thin and acutely malnourished. But the new form of undernourishment now and malnourishment in the world today is being overfed and undernourished and actually starving for nutrients at the cellular level. But it looks so different. So, you know, there's a tremendous opportunity to start talking about, you know, more effective fat loss and addressing those issues for quality of life, for learning capacity, for, you know, paying attention, for behavior, all the things that are classic symptoms of malnutrition and how we're impacting that in people's lives. So, you know, we think there's a tremendous opportunity for linking those types of testimonies also into our...
Could we get those, like that synthetic information about those studies in New England Journal, could that be put on a tear sheet for us to distribute?
Yeah, it could be, absolutely.
Would
yeah, I just found that information last week as I was searching, and
that's
I just didn't include it in my presentation. But those are, I mean, you know, there's probably other studies out there that show the same type of thing. There's not as many studies on synthetics as there is on improper nutrition, you know, but there's enough of them out there that, I mean, these are compelling. And that's why that article in the Journal of the American Medical Association a couple of years ago, I think it was 2007, saying that vitamin mineral supplement increase your risk of death was such shocking news to the world. I mean, 47 independent studies, of which the ones that I just referenced are a part of. So
it would be helpful if we get that on a tear sheet.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good.
Okay. See if we can do that.
Okay.
Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Anyone have any further questions for Sam? Why group this morning?
Well, I got another one, and if nobody's asking, on July, I just talked to a gentleman yesterday that owns a health food store, and he said on July 4th, something went through Congress that's going to affect the dietary supplement industry, and it could be in a negative fashion. So, Sam, if you get a chance, can you check that out?
Yeah, it's legislation that further defines what was sort of laid out in Deshaies in terms of regulatory oversight of dietary supplements. I'm not totally up on it because I'm not on the Council of Responsible Nutrition anymore. I'm not on that board. Rob Sinnott is. Rob Sinnott said, just as an overview, and again, over-regulation is not a good thing, so I'm not defending the law or the intent of the person that wrote it or anything. That's not the issue here. But I asked Rob, should we be concerned as a company about this? And he said, no, not really, because mostly what they're doing is requiring our industry to validate, you know, the efficacy of our nutrients at certain levels before we can make those types of claims. And any new dietary ingredient must go through, you know, research showing that it's safe, that it's effective. It's honestly, it is the same exact thing that we go through in Canada, the same thing that we go through in Australia, the same thing that we go through in Europe. You know, they control the types of claims based off of the what they believe to be credible science to validate what you're trying to say. Now, sometimes that gets in the way because it's a little bit subjective or arbitrary. And they may say, we need more information, or we don't think this is enough, or whatever. So I'm not saying that overregulation is good. I'm just saying this is not as big a threat to companies that have the science and the efficacy and can prove what they do as it is to an industry that pretty much just says whatever they want to say. You know, as an example, you've got all these mega juice companies out there saying, you know, the best nutritional support available is now in our drink. And then you measure, you know, the nutritional content of their juice, and then there's almost nothing there. And so that's really where a lot of this is coming from, is the amount of misinformation or incredible or non-scientific information that is dispersed through the nutrition industry. And again, you know, there's a fine line between agendas and overregulation and making the industry responsible because so much is at stake. And there's as many agendas that I think would like to, you know, destroy our industry as there are that would like to protect it out there. But when you shake it all out, you know, at the very end of the day, it's a good thing for companies to be held to a level of accountability for what they're saying is in their product, because it makes an impact on people's lives and it creates so much confusion in the marketplace. On the other hand, there are agendas, and those aren't good. So that's what I know.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Sam?
Yes.
It's Peggy Rosenberg, and I wanted to just suggest that perhaps while we're waiting for the tear sheet that Fred asked, would it be that Mary Jo could have distribute to us the statistics on this call in the interim?
Sure. Mary Jo, if you can hear, everybody's breaking up a little bit here. I don't know if it's the call or just the speaker.
Yeah,
I think I got suggested.
Just their respective phone. When they come off mute, it depends on, you know, what kind of reception they're getting. But I'm here.
If you'll just ask Terry to send you the slides that I took to New York.
Perfect. I'll accumulate the information, and then I will send out to everybody on the call today. So you guys will get that by the end of the day. Okay? Thank you both. That will be fabulous. Okay. You know me. I don't want anything stopping you from going out and sharing every moment of your life. So if I can help you get something, I will do that for you. Okay.
Sam, this is Carrie in Fort Smith, and I was wondering, do you have any idea when they're going to have those new tear sheets available to purchase? I've got a person in my downline who has the opportunity, was invited to put one in the boxes of teachers in Fayetteville, Arkansas. He needs 700.
Well, they're available online right now.
Yeah,
if you go to the MOD library, you can download them and then just take them to a local Kinko's and have them printed.
Yeah, that's cost him about $300. So that's what I was wondering if you knew.
Okay.
When.
Yeah, I don't know when they're going into publication. I know the first, you know, thing was to get them up so people could just print them off.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to the second part of that question. Good question to send our marketing department, though.
The other issue is that if you do them in black and white, I know they're beautiful in color. If you do them in black and white, you really save a tremendous amount of cost. So that might be an option for you in the interim if you're anxious to get them out before they actually. Anyone else have? Sam? Some of our background noise is people getting off mute and then forgetting they're on. They've gotten off. Sam?
Yes.
Anyone else? Hello?
Are you still there, Mary Jo?
I'm still here, Sam. I guess...
Yeah. I didn't know if I got cut off.
All right. No. I just try to clean up. Sometimes people get off mute and they forget they got off mute. So we hear the kitchen, you know, everything in their kitchen going on. So it just helps to clean up the call. I'm just asking one last time if we have any last minute, anyone who has any comments, questions on the call, anything.
Peggy from Porcupine here, Sam.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi. I'm just on the MOD site here for the Canadian site. What do I look for? I typed in Give for Real to look for the tear sheet, but I came up with blank.
It's not Give for Real. It's. Would you do me a favor and just email Terry Bayless? She'll tell you. I don't deal with the internet, so I don't even know. I just know it's on the MOD library.
Okay, I know her. I'll do that.
Thank you. Okay.
Sam,
hey, Mary Jo.
I'll also send an email out that will give them how to get access those on the Internet. So instead of bombarding Terry with 100 emails, I will send that out
and
then the information. Okay? So if you want to wait till my response, you'll get all that together.
This is today, Ann.
I'm going to do it as soon as we get off the call.
Sam?
Yes.
Hi, this is Ann.
Hey, Ann.
I'm from Minnesota.
Hi.
Has anything new happened as far as our being able to work with nonprofits?
Yeah, when we get to ManaQuest, our goal is to have an application and a brochure that will allow you to actually contact a not-for-profit and show them how they can participate. It's a specific application designed for not-for-profits, and there's a brochure that tells them how social entrepreneurship is a legitimate new way of raising funds for not-for-profit organizations. And I took a lot of that content out of the Inc. magazine, the May 2011 Inc. magazine that talked about six new strategies for changing the world. And one of the articles was on how not-for-profits are utilizing social entrepreneurship as a new mechanism of fundraising for their organizations. So that content will be in the brochure. Yeah, it's kind of shocking. People don't think that not-for-profits can sell anything, but that article said, according to the statistics of 501c3 organizations, 70% of the $1.4 trillion raised in 2008 by not-for-profits came through the sale of products and services. 70%.
Ooh.
So somebody has figured out, you know, how to use, you know, entrepreneurship as a way of creating sustainable funding.
Well,
and of course,
you can look at the Girl Scout cookies and figure that one out.
Well, that's the example that they used.
Perfect example. Yeah.
Yeah, $700 million a year is what they generate.
And just think of how out of integrity these nonprofits are selling that junk.
Well, I mean, you know, they don't know any better. I mean, you can't stay out of integrity if you don't know. I mean, a lot of people think that the stuff they're selling is beneficial, or they just don't know the difference. I mean, you know, selling candy and stuff like that to raise money is probably counter. I mean, it may have nothing to do with their not-for-profit. It's just a fundraiser. But what if you could do a fundraiser that would truly impact the quality of life of everybody you touched? And what if it could be sustainable? You know, and what if you got a good revenue source off of it? I mean, that's what we're offering, and we're designing a program specifically for not-for-profit. So we're addressing that issue, and we're spelling it out. And to kind of give you an example of what it's gonna, how it's gonna work, a not-for-profit pays nothing to join and has no monthly obligation. You know, and that's what is spelled out on their application. They are just simply plugged into the revenue stream that can be generated from their constituency, you know, buying our product. And so what that means is they're capable of earning any of the unilateral bonuses, but in particular, the member bonus. Because if their organization of donors chooses to do an automatic order as a member, they make a minimum of 20% on all the revenue generated by that activity. And, you know, that keeps it out, at least initially, of the discussion of network marketing, which concerns, you know, some organizations of how are you going to strong-arm my people and this and that and the other. And it turns it more into just a revenue-sharing direct sale program. So people order directly online. They make a minimum of 20%. Children in the world get nourished, and everybody gets to participate. And then if they choose to have a higher level of economic opportunity, they can choose the networking side of our distribution business. And in that case, if they want to elevate their status in terms of leadership beyond regional, they would need to participate as an all-star. But that's not even a conversation you have to have with the not-for-profit when you first sit down and talk to them. It's just we have a revenue-sharing program that allows us to contact your constituency, your donor base, and show them how they can change their life and help us change the world and create a sustainable new contribution program for an organization that at one point they felt, you know, pretty compelled to support or convicted to support. So, you know, we think there's millions of small not-for-profits in the world that are struggling just to create a little bit of income to keep their doors open. And this is such a tremendous opportunity to help them by helping us, by helping their donors. So it's a win-win-win situation. And you know, the brief conversations that I've had with not-for-profits in talking through this philosophy, I've got nothing but great response. And so we needed to formalize it. We needed to create an application that spelled it out. We needed a brochure that actually showed them what's possible and the legality of selling you know, services and goods through their organization and the information that they need to see. But I think there's a tremendous opportunity with not-for-profits out there, and we want to tap into it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sam?
Yes.
Hey, this is Kay over in Fort Worth.
Hey, Kay.
Sam?
Hey, I just wanted to say a heartfelt thank you from those of us that really appreciate your work on our behalf and the products that you've given our families.
Well, thank you, Kay. I appreciate that. I get to be a part of it just like you do. This is great.
Sam?
Yes.
I was wondering on the new openings in Europe, how they were doing.
You know what? I don't know that data today. I'll probably find out when I go over there in a few weeks. Next week I go to South Africa and then over to Australia, and then I come home for a week, and then I go back and do an 11-city tour in Europe. So I suppose I'll get to see what's happening over there. I know one thing about all of these markets. They are absolutely chomping at the bit to get a hold of this whole philosophy, strategy, and marketing campaign around Give for Real. They see it as a game changer in every part of the world, and I think they're right. And it's just such social entrepreneurship, and Give for Real is just such a unique way to approach the market on how to do business and make a difference, and why you would want to consider us over any other direct sale type opportunity. So I think it will make a difference all over the world, and I guess I'll find out more about how each country's doing when I get there.
This is Dorothy in Wisconsin. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a question. Sam, I'm wondering if you're familiar with a company called Midwest Metals. It's a sheet metal fabricating company, and I think one of the owners there was a Manitech associate, and so they set up an adjunct to their healthcare risk management and use Manitech products for their employees.
Right.
And they set up a program where the company pays a percentage of it, and then the employees pay another percentage of it.
Right.
And they've just had outstanding results. And I'm wondering how compliant that is. And if you could sign up a company and then their employees underneath it, it actually could be self-supporting. So their healthcare, you know, risk management could actually get a kickback from the revenue to help support their health, you know, health management and their business.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with that organization and what they've done and they continue to do through their employee base. You know, that is a major market that exists out there. I'll be honest with you, I have not had a lot of success in trying to penetrate that market, you know, with with the whole discussion around global health care and universal health care and what should be, you know, it's a mindset that is a sick disease basic mindset. It takes a very innovative owner who doesn't, you know, most of the time owners are consumed with just making a living and making their businesses grow. And they depend upon the sort of the healthcare providers, the insurance companies, to sort of guide them. And actuarial studies are critical in those evaluations. And, you know, I'm not saying it's not a market, because it is. It is a tough market to penetrate just because of the complexity of trying to get this message in a legitimate way into that marketplace. But, you know, hey, I think it's something that's got to happen at some point. And so we'll see how it evolves. Maybe, you know, maybe our discussion of real food technology and this whole challenge and bringing out the facts of malnutrition and undernourishment and the impact that that's making on the world, 70% of the total healthcare cost in this country are connected to that. Childhood obesity is connected to it. You know, disabilities are connected to lack. There's actually a government organization that gives a lot of statistics in the world today. It's kind of interesting. I found this site online. I don't have it with me, so I can't remember it. Some government program. But they said, you know, the problem with getting the message of proper nutrition into the marketplace is that there's, you know, too many dollars being spent on counter-messaging. For instance, the best nutritional program that the government suggests has a budget of $3.5 million a year to promote, you know, the concepts and reasons for good nutrition. And then they gave the example of Mars Corporation spends $68 million just on the promotion of M&Ms. Just to give you perspective, you know, McDonald's spends $1 billion on the promotion of their product. The processed food industry has a $25 billion budget a year for advertising and marketing of processed foods. So the message of real food and real nutrition sort of gets drowned out, you know, in the marketplace that, you know, when a problem as big as undernourishment and malnutrition is capitalized on by the world's biggest problems, you know, and supported by laws and influenced, you know, by government regulations that support status quo, there's only one mechanism for change, and that's we the people. No one else has a financial interest in seeing change come. And that's why it has to be a people movement. And so maybe through the people movement that we're igniting and maybe through the campaigns that we're launching, you know, we'll bring more, particularly people that do self-insurance in their organizations to the realization that this might be a real key strategy in their long-term health care challenges and costs. So, who knows?
But one more question. Would it be out of compliance to use Midwest Metals as an example when I go and talk to people?
No, I don't think so. I think that they're all they're doing is assessing risk of good nutrition.
Sam?
Yes.
Sam, can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, great. Hey, this is David in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, Dave.
Good to get to talk to you here. I'm a little bit excited today. Yesterday I went out to the Ozark Empire Fair, and I had on my schedule of things to do to contact Christian Schools of Springfield. My boy went there first 2 years of his preschool. And I've had a great relationship with the principal at school for many years since then. He's 16 now. And lo and behold, the person in charge of fundraising and the principal that I've known for years was right there at the fair in a booth. Mm-hmm. And so I've already got something future to set up with them. They're very excited about sitting down with me to go over this program with not-for-profit. So I've got
fantastic
to get with Wendy Kramer. She had told me at Branson that she would help me.
Yep. Well, good for you. Hey, let me tell you something about the Gift for Real program. Sometimes people say, what about kids in our country? If you've seen the most recent Manna Relief video that's up, it shows you that we're distributing product to thousands of children here in the United States. In fact, next week on August 8th, I go do a press conference at a town just above McAllen, Texas, which is considered one of the poorest areas in the United States now, in the Rio Grande Valley, where an organization called the Buckner Foundation, which is headquartered right here in Dallas, Texas, has a feeding program for 2,500 kids a day. And they are starting to use, or they will be launching on the 8th of August, a campaign that uses our real food technology blended into their feeding program. 2,500 kids right here in Texas. So when somebody says, well, I'm concerned about our kids, just say, so are we. We're concerned about the most vulnerable kids in all nations of the earth. And those are the kids that we want to touch. And that could be in the United States, Canada, Romania, South Africa, El Salvador, Guatemala, I mean, you know, all over the world. So we're interested in working with any organization that is feeding malnourished children.
I think that is incredible, because I really do feel like we do need to, you know, we need our country and our resources, we do need to bloom a little bit more where we're planted, and I think that's fantastic. I was an orphan when I was three, so
right.
It's kind of dear to me. One other thing, could I ask you? I briefly mentioned to you this concern at Branson, and you said something about after ManaQuest or at ManaQuest. While we're pursuing these different directions that we can go with not-for-profit or warm market and or different organizations and things, I'm also working very hard at going back into my success tracker and trying to reactivate people using this system. I was on a call with Bob Adam and Galen Lassiter here before Mana, or the Branson Regional,
right,
having to do with this and how to put this this course through Success Tracker together to pull up the best strategy for approaching your warmest group. But I see, and I don't know if this is feasible or if Manatech is doing something with this, but I see a huge, I think it's a huge opportunity that maybe needs to be addressed, that there's a possibility of, while we're out here pursuing it point by point, and it can be a little slow going through the success tracker, that at the same time there's a huge group of people that we don't have any contact resource with at all, except maybe an address. Is there going to be any kind of a mailing to, say, 2 or 3 years back inactives that is going to get a hold of this OST possibility? Because if not, the only thing that I'm seeing is it's going to be directly from an associate calling them, or they're already on an order and they're going to get a flyer in their box.
Well, I think, David, the best strategy is both of us doing this. It's one thing to get an email from the company. It's another thing to get a call from somebody that they know, or, you know, that personal contact. I know at Branson, you know, one of the people that got on stage and talked, or Ray referenced him from the audience, was a man that's put 100 new customers in his business just from calling his zero list and telling them about this bundle. What's interesting is he had to go through 19 no's before he got his first yes. So don't get discouraged talking to people out there. But I do think once we launch the campaign that we're talking about at ManaQuest, you know, I think the company is going to try to reach out, you know, to our existing database out there and say, man, if you haven't seen Manatech recently, you got to take a look. You know, this is the most compelling story in healthcare today. We've always had the technology, you know, and now we've got a campaign to help us drive it. So I think it's a combination of both, David.
I agree. I think it is a combination of both. Like, while we're right dead on it right here, one by one with these phone calls, at the same time, if all they have is a physical post office box,
right,
I hate to just circle that camp and miss it entirely, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's good. Thanks.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, see you, Dave.
Sam, hi, this is Peggy. One more quick question, and that is that I've heard a number of leaders in the field in various calls talking about Give for Real, but referring to the recipients as orphans. And I've been under the impression that it's not restricted or limited in any way to orphans. Isn't
it's not
possible?
Yeah, it's not restricted to orphans. You know, it is You know, of course, when we started the program of the Blessing Program, it was almost exclusively to orphans because that's where we got the best compliance. And it's also where we found the best funding. You know, I mean, people were sponsoring orphanages. And the good thing about orphanages, we know they feed these kids every day, so there's not a challenge into making sure the kids get access. It's still the largest portion of our distribution through Man and Relief is to orphanages. But what we're finding is that there are organizations that are doing some pretty massive daily feeding programs to underfed, undernourished children, as in this group in the Rio Grande Valley. There's a group out of South Africa we're starting to work with that feeds 100,000 kids a day. Unbelievable, the infrastructure that they have set up. The organization that we're working with in Guatemala is you know, has some orphanages, but they also support feeding programs. So it's really a combination of both. I would say probably to date about 75% of what we support are orphanages, but a growing percentage of the database that of children we're helping are simply through daily feeding programs.
So what would be the best way? I know of a leader of a group. Who should they contact? How would they follow up, you know, for an interest in feeding their children to see if they were eligible or whatever?
Just call Man and Relief, and they'll tell you the criteria. You know, our method of distribution, what we try to do, if somebody calls with a single orphanage or a single organization, we try to link them with one of our distribution partners. Like if it's in Mexico, we'll link them with Vamos Mexico. Because we don't send product to each individual orphanage or organization. We try to work with the Convoys of Hopes of the world, you know, with Feed the Children organizations, with the Vamos Mexico organizations that have the infrastructure to transfer product to parts of the world where they can actually redistribute to the orphanages or to the feeding programs. So we try to link individual organizations with some of these larger, because from an economics, that's the only way that we can afford, you know, not only to do it today, but if we're talking about impacting 5 million kids, we can't send boxes of product to organizations for 5 million kids. We need to work with the major relief organizations in the world whose focus is on, you know, feeding and nourishing children.
Right.
So if somebody calls and they just have an orphanage, you know, they have to wait until we can actually link them with someone because we don't deal with individual orphanages anymore. We deal with organizations.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And it makes sense. Great.
Mm-hmm. Sam?
Yes.
This is Joni Meyer in Arizona.
Hi,
I noticed that you do have a distribution, a small one, to the nation of Burkina Faso.
Uh-huh.
What is the major relief organization that you're using in that country?
You know, I think in that country it's not a major relief organization. It's the people that we've dealt with for several years. What's happening is Man and Relief has always dealt with individual orphanages and organizations since 1999. It wasn't a very effective way of trying to meet the needs of kids because it took the organizations themselves delivering product and stuff like that. So we still have some of those left over from the old days, and that happens to be one of them. But they're not connected with a major organization right now. But we still support the organizations that we used to support in the past as long as they can get the product, which is, you know, still the same thing today. If a church or some not-for-profit is supporting one particular or five particular orphanages and want to raise the money, buy the product, deliver it, we'll still work with organizations like that. But that's not really our Give for Real program. Our Give for Real program is when we raise money through Manatech, we are supporting the major distribution partners because they have the capacity to reach thousands. But we still work with the individual organizations if they can afford to raise the money themselves through their church missions programs or whatever and get the product delivered through the same mechanism.
Okay, well, we have someone that we personally know in Burkina Faso who is a national figure there.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to link him and his organization, which is a, you know, NGO, to this organization there, because one of his major emphases is dealing with children, you know, the whole AIDS epidemic in their country.
Sure. Yeah.
So you know what that organization is, or the orphanages?
You know, I don't know it on this call today. Somebody here, Man of Relief, could help you with.
Yeah, I'll have Relief for that. Thank you so much for your information. Okay,
yeah, bye-bye. Thanks, Joni.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, group, we're heading on to 11 o'clock. We've had Sam for an hour today, and we really want to appreciate and give him great thanks for being with us today. You guys had great questions, and I know Sam is always open and ready to answer any questions we have and give us the insight that he can give us. And, Sam, thank you so much for being a part of our call today. We really feel blessed, and we'll follow up with the people to get them more information, because I know the minute they hear you talk, they're all of a sudden like grasping for everything they possibly can get in their hands to go out and share again. So we'll get that information out as soon as possible, everyone. And one more big thank you to Sam for being with us this morning. We really appreciate his time and energy and the dedication he has for this mission. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Mary Jo. See you guys. Bye.
Bye.